Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game and The Game Nashville app. Joining us now, a little bit earlier than he normally does, is Elliot Friedman of the 32 Thoughts podcast and Sportsnet. Elliot, appreciate you being flexible with your schedule today. I know Willie wanted to chat with you before he had to head to Dallas. Of course, the Predators taking on the Dallas Stars tomorrow night. But I want to start with the Nashville Predators here. I know after the Preds fell to the Ducks 5-3 earlier this week, I heard all of the outrage on social media of, UC Soros isn't playing well anymore. You need to make a change. I heard a lot of Predators fans calling for, activation from Milwaukee, maybe a change up in the roster. Have you heard anything about potential changes? And maybe what would your message be to Predators fans that went borderline nuclear after that loss to Anaheim?
That doesn't sound borderline nuclear. That sounds like a full mushroom cloud out there, Carolyn.
You should hear the nuclear from some of these fans around these parts.
Yeah, I would say be careful what you wish for. Because the moment let's just say for argument's sake, you were to trade a UC Soros, the moment that happened, you know who you'd be screaming for? You'd be screaming for UC Soros. So, I don't think he's going anywhere. Barry Trotz is on record as saying he'd like to keep him, and I don't have any reason to believe that Barry Trotz is lying or fibbing when he's telling that. I do think you want to keep him. Obviously, maybe he's not at the level of that you guys have expected or hoped for lately, but I think that's more just of, the high standard he's set, and I think he's going to be fine. Soros, to me, is the last guy I'd be worried about. I think, honestly, when it comes to what you guys are thinking, I think one of the biggest questions you guys have is, what's your defense going to be going forward? You've got some contract situations you've got to deal with. You guys can tell me if I'm wrong, but I've heard Carrier has played pretty well. So I think that he is kind of solidifying his spot, I think, in the future of the Predators there. But between him and Fabro, and I know you guys really like Spencer Stastny a lot, I just think that one of the key things that you guys are figuring out here is what your defense is going to look like long term, because you have some contract situations to figure out here.
Elliot Friedman is with us, 32 Thoughts podcast in Sportsnet. Looking a little bit more nationally, you see the news coming out that Corey Perry will be able to rejoin another NHL team. So what kind of went on behind the scenes there with Corey Perry and, of course, the NHL Players Association kind of pushing this along so he is eligible to sign with another team?
The one thing I would say is, and I kind of corrected it when I wrote it the second time, I shouldn't have used the word eligible. He wasn't ineligible. He wasn't technically in a position where he couldn't be signed. But I think everybody kind of realized that you weren't going to sign him if the league was going to stand in the way, right? And I think that is a key thing to recognize here. He was eligible to be signed, but no team was going to do it if you were worried that the league wasn't going to wasn't going to be happy about it. So, Perry asked for a meeting with the league. He spoke to them. I think he kind of explained everything from his point of view, including some of the help. He said that when his contract was terminated, he was going to get help for some alcohol use. I think he told them about what he did there. And I understand that he left with the blessing and that the league wasn't going to stand in his way and that, he could go ahead and sign with someone. And I do think there is interest, Carolyn. We don't have a clear picture of exactly yet what happened here with him in Chicago. And I don't want to minimize anything because I don't know the full details. But the one thing that's clear here is that once a contract gets terminated, the Players Association has 60 days to decide if they're going to grieve that. And there is definitely a feeling here, and again, I don't have all the details, so I'm just relaying what I've heard secondhand. There's definitely a feeling here that if it wasn't Chicago, because of everything they went through with the Kyle Beach situation, that they don't believe that the contract would have been terminated. So they have until January 29th to decide if they're going to appeal this, and the belief is they will, although there's just nothing formal yet at this point in time. So I think what the general feeling is here is that this is something, while obviously something that shouldn't have happened, it's not something that would have resulted in the termination in just about any other situation, but an organization that knows it's been through something. And, you know, one of the things that Kyle Davidson, the GM, did when he met with the players about it was tell them that we cannot afford any scandal, no matter how slight it is. So I think this was a case where a team was just being very careful, and whatever happened shouldn't have happened, but it doesn't sound like anything that anyone feels should prevent Corey Perry from playing in the NHL.
Now, Elliot, let's get back to the Soros thing. Yep. I'm with you. I think Soros will eventually sort of work its way out of this and hopefully start playing a lot better. He gets back to being the old Soros. But if he continues to struggle moving forward, do you see a scenario where they bring the young guy, Askarov, up and start to let him get some minutes? I know Lankinen is there, but Lankinen, what, has another year on this contract, or this may be the last year.
He's a free agent at the end of the season.
So just letting a young guy come in and sort of get some time in the NHL.
Well, I mean, the one thing is that, like, he obviously started to, Derek, and you can see the potential. I see why this guy was drafted as high as he was. He's a really talented young goalie. You know, the only thing is, unless you want to carry three goalies, which is not what anybody likes to do, there's a couple teams doing it this year, and it's far from ideal. You know, either someone has to be hurt or someone has to be put on waivers to bring Askarov up. And, you know, you're obviously not putting Soros on waivers. I don't think you'd put Lankinen on waivers either, because you'd lose a guy like him. He's played very well. So I think for this year, it just unless Nashville suddenly decides for whatever reason they want to carry three goalies, I think they just stay with the two. If someone gets hurt, Askarov gets his chance. He plays as much as he can in Milwaukee, but I think we all see where this is going. It's likely after this year that Askarov is going to be up. Whatever you guys do in goal, and I assume it's going to be signed Soros, that Askarov is going to be up next year, and he's a big part of your future.
And Lankinen just got a big win for them at Dallas last Saturday, and we'll see who goes tomorrow in Dallas. I would think Lankinen might get a shot.
Very well.
Yeah.
Very well. Very well.
Elliot, the TNT guys got in on this discussion, and we've been doing it in this market too. If you look at the surge of the Oilers, and they've only played 37 games, the Predators are right at the halfway point of their season. But the Oilers are playing just lights out right now, so it's hard to envision them not making the playoffs. And so the discussion is, look, is it too early to say halfway through that there's almost seven spots in the Western Conference playoff race spoken for?
Well, are you trying to ruin the drama here,
Willie? No, I'm just pointing out that the Predators are in a great spot, right?
Anyway?
The Predators are right in this thing, but there's a lot of teams that are really looking for one. They're only playing for really one spot when you get down to it.
I would agree with that. As long as Edmonton doesn't, you know, fall off the face of the earth like they did earlier in the season, I agree with you. They should be perfectly fine. And I would say that. Like, there's a race. Like, some teams have certainly fought their way into it. Like, there's no question that the Predators have had greater staying power this year than a lot of us expected, especially in that week early in the season where, you know, things were really falling apart and looked kind of dire.
They were 5-10.
Yeah, they were 31st in the league. I think we were all sitting there saying, okay, that's it. We don't have to worry about Nashville anymore. But I would think that's fair. Like, the other thing, too, is Edmonton's got those games in hand, right? They're at 37 games. So you look at it and you say the math is really, really good for them. So, yeah, I think that's fair. But I think you guys are very much in this. And whatever people were expecting from the Predators at the beginning of the season, I think they sent a message that they've got staying power and you better take them seriously because they're part of it.
So then you look at that next group of teams, the Predators, the Kraken, who are back in it. They're playing really well. Arizona, the Blues, the Flames, and then the Wild, who we've been watching closely because they've just played two games in Dallas. They're injury riddled right now, and they lost both. So let's start with the Wild, with where they are right now and their outlook with their lack of health and cap issues. So where do you think their mindset is right now?
Well, I think they're a team that always tries to compete for the playoffs. You know, they got their fired coach bounce, and now they're, you know, like I didn't really realize it until Michael Russo tweeted it last night, but they're 20 points behind the Jets. And the other thing is that the Wild's math is not as good as anyone else's there. Like, they're down, they got, 38 points, and they've played a lot of games. Now, I think they're kind of not the team that will just give up. They've got some young players. I think they'll keep building. Like, I don't know if I see them trading any of their core players. But maybe some of the players on the fringes, some guys who they look at and say maybe their contracts are up or they're not as serious about the future. But they just bet on their core and they just signed a whole bunch of guys. So I don't know if I expect them to pivot that quickly, Willie. But you know, this has been a tough year for them on and off the ice. And I do recognize that sometimes you make decisions after seasons like this one. But I expect them to – like, the one thing about Guerin is he's really impulsive. It's kind of the way he runs the team. But when you have seasons like this one, sometimes the best thing to do is take a deep breath and just let it play out before you do anything rash.
So the same is true, and I see a lot of articles up in you know, on Sportsnet and things like that where you were in your circles about the Flames, who they come in here a week ago and get a big win against the Predators. Then they turn around and lose a couple, including one in Chicago against a decimated Blackhawks team. They turn back and win. So they're right in the middle. And they're 4 points behind the Predators, same amount of games. Where's their head at, knowing that they've got a lot of contract decisions to make?
Well, I think they're willing to move players. Lindholm, I think, will move. Tanev, I think, will move. You know, the one I think they've thought about keeping is Hanifin. But that one is weird. That one goes in and out. Like, Hanifin had a verbal deal earlier in the year, and then they lost a couple of games, and he kind of changed his mind. And so I always wonder about that. And now I've heard they've started talking again. Like, Hanifin is, like, he's a younger guy. He's about to turn 27. So I can see a reason for keeping him, but I wonder if you keep him, are you only punting this down the road for a couple of years? The one thing I think is that the Flames just haven't had the traction on some of their guys that they kind of hoped to. So that's, you know, but their guys are definitely available. Like Lindholm, the center, everybody kind of wonders about Colorado with them. And, whether or not that's going to be the player that Colorado goes after. But that's a move that might have to be closer to the trade deadline because Colorado's got no cap room. So I don't think the Flames have changed. I think the only thing that maybe is different is maybe they're thinking about keeping Hanifin again. But other than that, I think they're looking to move guys.
So that kind of brings you down to a group of four or five teams for one or two slots, depending on whether you think the Oilers are a shoe-in or not. So that it's just an interesting outlook.
Put it this way, I'd be surprised. Like, I'd be really surprised.
I'm with you. I'm penciling them in. If not, I'm not putting a Sharpie or a pen, but I got them in pencil as one of the spots.
They have erasable ink now, Willie. You can use that. The other thing, too, about you guys is, like, I still think you guys are going to look at the bigger picture. Like, it's not going to be about this year for you. It's going to be about what's the thing that makes sense in the long run. And I still wonder about you and Vancouver as trade partners, whether it's a Garland or a Kuzmenko or something like that. You know, those players have some term. They play the way that, you guys, they can help you guys a bit. I don't know how, I don't think you guys are climbing over walls to go get these players, but I think you've had conversations with them. But again, I think you guys have a luxury of, you don't need to rush into anything. I think you feel that you have cap room. It's the most valuable thing you can have in the NHL, especially now is cap room. Like, you guys are going to have some choices here, and I think the one thing about Barry Trotz is he's patient, right? He's very patient, and he sees a big picture. And I think anything that the Predators do is not going to be about 2024. It's going to be about where you're going beyond 2024.
All right, so we've got to get your take on the soap opera between Cutter Gauthier and the Flyers. I just have this vision, and all of us, you know, we have this perception of different markets, right? And you know it just like anybody else. But Philadelphia fans have a reputation. I'm thinking of JD, JD Drew, right? All the throwing batteries at a guy who didn't want to sign in the Philadelphia market. Scott Boras, the ultimate villain agent. That guy was toast before it ever started every time he went to Philly. But now you got a guy 19 years old, basically, I guess to use the term, ghosted, right? He just ghosted the Flyers, said, I'm not returning your calls. I'm not playing for you. What happened there?
So last year, Chuck Fletcher was the GM of the Flyers, and he was fired on March 10th. And on March 11th, Cutter Gauthier's season ended at Boston College. They played their last game. They lost in their conference quarterfinals, I think it was, and his season ended. And I believe that Cutter Gauthier thought he was going to join the Flyers. I do. And it didn't happen. And I think it happened for a couple of reasons. Number one, if you'll remember, last year was a really hard end of the year in Philly. They didn't have a lot of cohesion. The dressing room were at each other's throats. There was the Pride Night fiasco there. I think that, well, I don't think, like, not everybody in the dressing room hated each other, but there were clearly some issues. And I just don't know if Philly wanted to bring him into that. And, you know, so I just think that the player, I think, was hoping to join the team. And they kind of indicated to him, and also, too, they had 16 games left. And if he had played 10 of them, he would have what's called burned or used up the first year of his contract. So he would have been 1 year closer to getting his second contract. And I think the player thought that he was going to be up there, but, you know, the Flyers weren't as sure about it. You know, Keith Jones wasn't hired until May 11th. Daniel Briere didn't come the full-time GM until May 11th. It was just such a period of chaos in the organization. And I don't think they felt they were insulting the kid at all. I think they were just like, you know what? Like, if you want, I think they broached, you want to start in the American Hockey League, play the end of the year there, and then you'll join us next year. And I don't think the Flyers meant to insult him. I think it was, they thought they were doing the right thing, but I think it just got taken a different way. And, you know, I compared it to Cool Hand Luke a bit. What we've got here is a failure to communicate. And I think the communication broke down, and I think the Flyers always felt they could fix it. They really liked Gauthier. I think they really felt they could fix it. And I think in the kids' eyes, it just wasn't fixable. And you know what? Like, you're entitled to not play for the team that drafts you. You have to sit out a while or you can force a trade. Like, it's not impossible. The one thing I just disagreed with is I think he should have just told them exactly what it was. That's all.
Elliot, true or false, Peter Laviolette, the next head coach for the Alabama Crimson Tide?
Or the Patriots. He grew up in Boston, right?
He's got that kind of same look as Saban. Like, when his eyes bear in on you, you do not want to be on the receiving end of that. I think it would be hilarious if Belichick was the next head coach at Alabama. Yeah.
Just a little swap, Saban to New England. Elliot, appreciate you for joining us. Appreciate your time and appreciate you for being flexible with us today. Elliot Friedman, 32 Thoughts, Sportsnet Podcast. Appreciate you, Elliot. We'll chat next week.
Take care, guys.
All right, appreciate it. Willie D, you are en route to Dallas. Big one for the Predators against the Stars tomorrow night.
Tough one, tough place to win. Big win for the Predators there on Saturday. Yeah. Let's see if they can replicate it, or a little rematch action. But they'll have the Stars' attention, that's for sure.
Absolutely they will. Willie D, appreciate your safe travels to Dallas. Coming up next, we'll continue to break down some of the bullet points in Joe and Diana's article, our reaction to it, and, you know, just providing a little bit more insight as to what exactly happened behind the scenes. How did we get here with Mike Vrabel and the Titans organization? We'll get into that coming up next. And, of course, into your thoughts as well. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Caroline, Willie, D. Mays, we are brought to you by Zen Sports. Start earning cash rewards on your bets today. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-889-9789. Terms and conditions apply. Must be 21 or older and in Tennessee to bet.